Okay, we begin a new limud today. We start a new sefer in the Rambam. It's Sefer Mishpatim, the Book of Laws. It has five different sets of halachas, and the first one is called Hilchos Schirus, the laws of schirus, of rentals. And we'll see it's much more than just rentals. As we normally do, we do the introduction first that lists the number of mitzvahs that are going to be discussed. There's seven mitzvahs in these halachas. Shalosh mitzvahs asay, three positive mitzvahs, for arba mitzvahs lo asay, four negative transgressions, for zeh pratan, and these are the details. Aleph, din sochir v'shoymer sochir, the laws of a renter and the laws of a person who's paid to watch something. That'll be the first mitzvahs that are involved. Beis litein schar socher biyomo, that we're required to pay the wages of a worker on the day that he works. Okay? So if it doesn't matter if he's watching or if you're renting, either way, for pay or renting, you've got to pay them on time. Three, gimel shel ya'acher schar socher acher zmana, you can't delay the wages after the time. Okay, that's a third thing. So it's positive to pay on time, and a fourth not to delay it. Dalit sheyoichel asocher min amuchubar sheoisabo, that the worker who's paid to work, he's allowed to eat food when he's working with the food under certain circumstances, as juxtaposed to the next thing, hey, shelo yochal asocher min amuchubar b'shas melacha. But when he's not allowed to eat, at the time that he should be working. So there's times during working he doesn't have to, and other times that he has to. Vav shel yolich hasachar biyada yosir al masha yoichol. He shouldn't be eating more than what he's worth, right?
He can't stuff his pockets.
Better. He shouldn't stuff his pockets with more than he could eat, right? So he should, he may end up being that. First way, right? In other words, you take what you need to eat, but to save it, take it home, and for the kids and the children, you know, you just went to a vort, you just stuff your pockets, right? So not to do that. And Zayin Shalo Yaksum Shor B'disha, not to muzzle an ox while it's working. All right, those are Ubeir mitzvahs. El Prokabela, now we're going to go into details of these seven mitzvahs. Okay, Aleph. Our first part should be a bit familiar to all of you. Our boss, Shomrim Namra B'Torah. The Torah discusses four guardians in the Torah. Ushlosha Didim Yesham. And the four guardians have three laws, because two of them have similar laws. V'heilein our boss, Shomrim, these are the four guardians. Shomer Chinam, someone who watches something for free. V'ashoyel, someone who borrows and doesn't have to pay at all. V'nosei Sochar, and the person who gets paid to watch. V'hasochar, and a person who pays to rent. Base, ve'elohein shlosha din shalem. These are the three laws that they have. Shomer chinam, somebody who is watching something for nothing. So obviously he doesn't have a lot to gain out of this, so we have to be the most lenient for him. Shenignav ha'pikodon mimenu o avad. If the security that he's watching gets stolen or it gets lost, ve'en tzarach lomer, goes without saying, imnenas ha'pikodon onas gadol, if something beyond his control happens, totally beyond his control. Kigon, for example, Shaisa Behema Umesa, the cow was by him, the cow just died. Onishpoi, so was taken captive by marauders. So now, he doesn't have to pay for that, but how do we know he's telling the truth? So Hareza Nishpa, he has to make an oath, and we'll see there's a number of oaths beyond what the Rambam says right now. Sheshomer Kederach HaShomrim, he watched things the way a guardian is supposed to watch, which means he was not negligent in his watching, because even a person who watches for free, he has to watch properly without negligence. Because if he has negligence, then he'd have to pay, even if it was an ones gomer, even if it was totally beyond his control. If he was starting with negligence, then that would put him in a bad position. We'll see there's other oaths he has to make. He has to make another oath that it's not in his possession. And there's another oath that he didn't use it for his own personal use before the mishap happened. We'll get into those other oaths. But right now, the main thing is that he has watched things properly. And once he makes that oath, upotur, and he does not have to pay the owner. Shenemer, how do we know this? The Torah says the following: "V'gunav mi beis ha'ish, if it gets stolen from the person's house, v'nikrav bal habayis el ha'elohim, and the master of the household is brought to Elohim." And Elohim, the rabbis mean, it refers to the courts, because Elohim means powerful, and therefore a bezdin would be that. So the commentator explains, so where do you see from that that you make an oath? It just says you bring to the Baal HaBayis to the court, and so what's going on? So the rabbis say, so number one, Elohim means a court, and the word vayakriv, when they bring close, v'nikrav, and they bring close means that's an oath. It means to bring an oath. Now, the Torah isn't clear that we're speaking about a Shomer Chinam necessarily. However, the rabbis deduce from the fact that the Torah says that that he has to make an oath when the item is stolen or lost, and then he doesn't have to pay. And then in the next section afterwards, it talks about someone who has to pay for something that's stolen and lost. So that second one, obviously, if you pay for stolen loss, has to be the Shomer Sachar. And therefore, the first one, where you only need an oath and then you're off the hook, so that must be the Shomer Chinam. So therefore, we see from that that the Shomer Chinam, the free watcher, all he has to do is make an oath, and he does not have to pay if it gets lost or stolen, again, provided that there isn't negligence. I always wonder, how does something get lost without negligence? Always, you know, did you ever think about that? Did you ever lose anything? Huh. Right?
All the time.
Okay, I don't know. Anybody have any thoughts on that? How you can lose something without negligence?
If you put it down somewhere and someone moves it,
then you didn't.
That wasn't your fault. You remembered where you left it.
But yeah, all right. But then that wouldn't that be negligent? Put it in a place where nobody could get to it. Usually you put it up, you lock it up in a drawer, and no one's going to get to it, right? And if you're going to say, well, I forgot where I put it, then maybe you should have written down where you put it. So, I don't know. It's an interesting... It's always been bothering me. Maybe we'll come up with an answer one of these days. You're lost for an answer. Okay. So now, that is the Shomer Chinam. That's the one extreme who's doing this all out of the goodness of his heart. Let's go to the other extreme now. Hashoel, the person who borrows but doesn't have to pay. So he, we treat much stricter. Mishalim HaKol, he has to pay everything. Doesn't matter if the item gets lost or stolen. Or if it's a bigger accident than that. Kigon, for example. The borrowed animal died. Onishpar, or got damaged, like broke a leg or whatever. Onishpes, or recaptured. And how do we know this? Because this is what the Torah writes by the free borrower. It says, "Vinishbar omeis," if the animal gets damaged or dies, "ba'olav einimo," and the owner's not with him, which we'll discuss what that exactly means. Shalem, he shall surely pay. Now it's interesting. That's the case of the shoal, and it doesn't say that he's chayav for lost or stolen. But the rabbis make the a fortiori argument from the shomer sachar. If a shomer sachar who pays for lost and stolen, but is not chayiv for accidents, as we'll see shortly. So certainly a shoel who is chayiv for those types of accidents certainly should be chayiv for gneiv and aveda. And the Gemara calls this a kal v'chomer she'ein olav teshuva. This is an a fortiori argument that you can't ask any questions on. And also the rabbis learn from an additional point when that section of the shoel is discussed, it begins that parsha with the word vav, with the letter vav, and the vav connects it to the parsha before that and adds on to it. So the shoel is following the parsha of Shomer Sachar. So, and also, besides what the Shomer Sachar is chayiv for Genev and Aveda, the shoel is chayiv for accidents. So that's the second category. Now, no say Sachar Oha Sachar, the person who gets paid to watch, or the person who is renting, Shneim Din Echad Yesham, they both have the same law, and that really is a big machlokas, if you recall, we learned in the Gemara, and this is according to Psak of Rav Yehuda, and because the Socher, the law is not really explained. The Torah does not talk about a renter in the Torah. So, Rav Yehuda's position, and we hold like him, is that although only three are mentioned, but the renter is not, Rehuda maintains that the renter is like the person who gets paid to watch. Why? Because both of them get some kind of benefit by the fact that the security is in their domain. The Shomer Sacha, the paid guardian, gets the benefit that he gets paid for watching. The renter, what's his benefit? He gets to use it, right? And therefore, their laws... Now, on the other hand, there's responsibilities, there's downside. He gets to use it, but he's got to pay. The Shomer Sacha, on the other hand, he gets paid, but he has to be more responsible. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda feels they have a similar halacha. So whatever is said in the Torah by Shomer Sacha, by the paid guardian, will be the same halacha by the renter, which is as follows. Im nignav o avad hadover hasochar o shenotol sochar al shmira. So if the item that you are renting or you're getting paid to watch gets stolen or lost, well, it's the same law as the Shomer Sachar. Hare elu misham. You pay for that, as the Torah says it specifically by a Shomer Sachar who has to accept responsibility for anything that happens that could be somehow related to a faultiness in his watching. Because even though we're not going to call it negligence, remember that's something that everybody's obliged for. The Rambam hasn't talked about it yet. I mean, even he's hinted to it by the Shomer Sachinim already, though. That if there's overt negligence, then certainly everyone's responsible for that. But then there's, you know, it's kind of your fault, but not negligence. Where, well, obviously, when something gets lost or stolen, right, then it usually is in your hands to be a little bit more careful. You could be watching it more. Be under your watchful eye all the time. It wouldn't get lost and it wouldn't get stolen. So therefore, there is a bit of not responsibility there. In that case, so therefore, Harei Elu Mishalmim, they have to pay for that. But, V'im Eira'o Onas Godol Mizeh, but if a bigger accident that happens, and again, the Rambam has to keep on reminding us what this is, Kigon Shehoisa Behema V'Mezeh, he has the Behema Bayim and it dies, Onishpor, or it gets damaged, now he adds Onishpes, or it gets taken captive, now he adds an extra one, Onitrafa, or it gets attacked and killed by a wild animal. I don't know why the Rambam didn't put it for the two first examples for that, but he only put it in here. Hare elu nishpoim, you can swear on that, shenen, so that accident happened, to peturim, they don't have to pay, because it's that is beyond the shomer's ability to stop those types of accidents, even something that was taken, when it's taken into captivity, because the only way you could prevent people who are taken into captivity would be what? By putting your own life in danger. A regular gun, if you just keep an eye on it, have alarm force sign out there, and they won't come in. But we're talking about captivity means marauders are coming, they've conquered the country, and it's lawlessness. So what are you going to do? You're going to stand up to them, they're going to kill you. So under that case, he doesn't have to take responsibility for that. Shenemer, how do we know? Because the pasuk says, "By the Shomer Sacher, umeso nishbar o nishba ein roa." If it dies, or it gets damaged, or gets taken captive, and nobody saw it, shvuas Hashem. There's an oath of Hashem between them. Uksiv, and it also says, "Vimganov yganov meimo." And if it gets stolen from him, yishalem livalov. He has to pay to the owner. And the pasuk also says, though, but a treifa, he doesn't have to pay. So therefore you see all these examples. Nimtzas Omer, it comes out from what we say over here. We have a division in three ways. Shomer Chinam, it's going to recap now. Shomer Chinam Nishba Lakol. The free guardian swears on everything, really. V'hashoyel Mishalem Alakol. And the free watcher pays for everything. Chutz Min Ameisu Vishas Malach, except the... What? What did I say? The show... I'm sorry, the shol, the borrower, thank you. The borrower pays for everything, chutz min ameisa bishas melach, unless it dies when it's working, because remember, that's already an exception. Because remember, the shol is chayv even on accidents. So this is a higher thing. This is, you know, you borrowed it to work it. So we're not talking you worked it normally and just dropped it.
Stated use.
Right? So that's exactly the stated use. So we can't make him chayv for that. Kemoshi is bar, as it will be explained, in the laws, in a whole different section of the Rambam, in the laws of She'elo Pikadon. Remember, these halachas are officially called the laws of a renter and a borrower. So, well, technically, they're dividing up the Shomer, really gets spread out in all different parts in the Rambam. Finally, Noiser Socher Rasocher, the paid watcher and the renter, Mishamanas Aveda Vesagneva, they pay for theft or loss, Vinishboy Nala Onsenat Gedolim, and they make an oath on the big accidents, Gon Shvuru Shvuya Mesa Trefa, if the animal gets damaged, gets taken captive, dies, or gets attacked by a wild animal. Oh, another interesting example. It seems how the Rambam is just popping up different examples randomly here. Osho, I'm sure he knows what he's writing, but I don't understand the depths of it. Osho, over ador bisvina shetov hayam, or let's say the item was on a boat and the boat sank and you lost that. That's a pretty good accident. Onilkach police the mizuin, or armed robbers take it. V'chol kayyitz, anything like that. Mishar anasamiron, for any of the big accidents where saving them would be involved in an extreme amount of danger on the part of the watcher, and therefore he's not required to do that. It's interesting how the Rambam in Meira Nevuchim, where he gives more of this philosophical understandings, he says, pretty similar, he says, the Shomer Chinam, since he gets no benefit at all, and he's done a complete act of kindness to the owner, therefore he doesn't have to pay anything. Right? And whatever loss comes out has to come out of the owner's pocket. On the other hand, the borrower who has all the benefits, and the lender is the one who's doing kindness, therefore the borrower has to pay for everything, and any damage comes out of his pocket. But the renter, or the one who gets paid, each one of them, has a little bit on the hook. They both are, like, so to speak, take part in that together, and therefore they divide up what the losses are. So therefore, things that come out of a lack of good watching as well as possible, that comes out of the shomer's pocket, and things that are coming that it's really not so much their fault, that comes out of the owner, that's what the shomer's fault, that comes out of the owner's pocket. Continuing now, Halacha Gimel. Okay, now there's going to be a concept that's a very hard to understand concept. It's Xeris HaKosov. It's called Ba'al of Imo, if the owner is with him. And that is a leniency, as we will see, under certain circumstances and not under others. If the person has deposited somebody, the object with someone in any one of these four types of shomrim, if the borrower, the shomer, if he borrows the owner, as it were, in other words, the owner of the object, he borrows him, has him working for him, as it were, im hadover shalahen, with the thing that they have borrowed, but it doesn't mean that they have to be working with the thing that they borrowed, but the owner is doing some type of activity, work for the borrower at the time that he's borrowing the object from him. In the present time, at that point, he and doesn't have to even be with the object that he is borrowing from him. Okay? Oscharin, or that he is renting. Hareya Shomer Potter Mikum. The Shomer doesn't take from anything. From the wording of the Rambam, it would appear, even he doesn't have to make an oath. It would appear from the Rambam, and even the oath that it's not in his possession, he wouldn't have to make. It would appear from the Rambam because it says you're Potter Mikum. You're freed from anything. Okay, I guess I assume the owner has to admit that he was present and he lent himself out at the time that the borrowing took place. That's not under debate. If the owner agrees to that, that it happened, then the shomer is free from everything. However, if you look in the later commentaries, the Ksos is not sure about that, and he seems to be arrived from a Tosefta, that at least he has to make an oath. And indeed, the Yerushalmi says there's an argument in the Tanoim, or the Nesiva's commentary says that he needs to make the oath that he didn't use the object for his own personal use, and it's not longer in his domain. So there's a big debate if there are any extra shavuos involved or not, but certainly everyone agrees to the primary thing, that he's not obliged to pay for something he normally would be obliged to pay for. That clearly is a leniency, and look how far the Rambam goes. Afilu pasha bedavar b'shashamar. Even he was negligent with the thing that he was watching. Now this is a machlokas in the Gemara of Achan Ravina that doesn't get resolved in Rambam Paskin's leniency. Even if the guy was negligent, so you really got to be a very special owner to lend yourself out together with the object that you're lending out to somebody or renting to somebody, because you're putting yourself in a very compromised position. Look at this. Afilu pasha b'davar shamar va'avad machlas avshin, it gets lost because of the negligence. Hareiz a potter. You don't have to pay. Shenemar, because the text says, im bol avimo, if the owner is with him, lo yishalem, he doesn't have to pay. Im socher hu ba bischor, and if he's a hired worker, he comes with his wages. But the main part is with bol avimo. However, we have to qualify this. Bamed, varmamorim, when do we say that this leniency applies? It's where he borrows the owner or hires him out at the time that he takes the object out of the owner's domain. Even the owner is not with him or working from later on when he gets lost or stolen or an accident happens. But he took the object, and when he became initially a shomer, But what if he first borrowed, took the object as a deposit without the owner's involvement? Then he rents out the owner, Oshelm, or borrows the owner for subsequent use at the same time that it's being borrowed, but not from the beginning. Even though the owner is there right at the moment where the object becomes damaged, when the accident happens, the owner was there. No, I raised Masham. Now he's got to pay. Shenemar, because you see, the problem is there are two conflicting verses. We just quoted you one verse that says that if the Baal's with him, he doesn't pay. Well, there's another verse. The verse before that, it says, Baal of Ein Imo, the owner is not with him, Shalem Yishalem, he has to pay. So what's going on? The owner's with him, he doesn't pay. Not with him, of course, one is six. It's the exact can be implied from the other. So we need both clauses for. So Mipia Shmu Alamdu, therefore we understand from the, though it's not explicitly said in the Torah, but it's Alocha L'Moshe Misinai. Moshe explained the pasuk to say like this, that to say, Hoya imoy bishat, the way we split the difference is, Hoya imoy bishat sashela, if he's with him at the time it's borrowed, afa pisheino be'es gneva v'amisim, though he's not with him at the time of the theft or the death, potter doesn't pay. Lo ya imoy bishat sashela, wasn't at the time of the borrowing, afa pisheino imoy bishat samiso shvia, even though he was with him at the time where it dies or gets captive, chayv, he has to pay. This will be the same law for any shomer. If it's a shomer chinam, sachar, asar, it doesn't matter. Shekulam, babolim, poturim, when all them at the time of the borrow, the transferring of watching the owners there, your potter, afilu, pshia, babolim, even there's pshia involved, potter, you don't have to pay by all of the shomerim, just like if it was said in the Torah by Shoel, but from various drushes we learn that whatever says by one applies for the other. Here is the way the drusha works in the Gemara. There, the Gemara says one pasuk says Baal of Einimo, the owner is not with him. Shalem Yishalem, he pays, which would appear to say, which would imply that he wasn't there, not at the times of the borrowing and not at the times of the accident. It says the owner is not with him. It would imply under all the time. So what do we say that you're chayev? That implies the owner wasn't with him in the beginning or the end, which would imply, but he's with him part of the time, he wouldn't have to pay. But if he's there at one, he wouldn't have to pay. So that's the implication of the one text. The other pasuk says, if the Baal is with him, he doesn't pay, which you think it means he has to be there the whole time. But if he isn't there for one of the times, then he has to pay. So the implications of the two psukim are conflicting with each other. So therefore we have to explain the word imo, what does it mean with him? So in one context, it means with him at the time of the borrowing and not with him at the time of the borrowing. So that's what you need the halacha l'moshe misinai to say which one's explaining which one. It's not clear, you know, which way is going which way. So therefore you need the halacha l'moshe misinai to say that it's logical at the times of the borrowing, that's what frees him, because usually it's at the time of the borrowing where the obligations descend upon the person. So if the owner's with him at the time the obligation begins, that's when the obligation doesn't happen to him. While after he is already obliged, what a little help for the owner to come later. That's the halacha l'moshe misinai that we derive from that.
I mean, I thought the logic was that if the owner was there, even if he wasn't there from the beginning, he would help sort of protect the item.
Yeah, so but you see, that's not the halacha.
Yeah.
It seems that right when the owner is there at the beginning, that means he's not totally giving over full responsibility to that guy. Usually you give it to the guy and goodbye, the owner walks away. So now it's totally your business. The owner's staying with him in the beginning. He has never totally given it over to him. That's, I guess, the halacha l'moshe
Sinai is telling us. That's why he doesn't have to be there when the object is...
Well, your logic isn't faulty,
yeah.
But that's the halacha l'moshe Sinai telling us which type of logic to go with. Okay, Dalet is extremely long. So we're not going to finish it all today, but let's just begin it. Dalet. First he says a one-liner that is going to be explained in another set of halachas, which we won't see this for a long, long time. Kol shomer shepasu v'tchilaso, any shomer who initially was negligent, even though it ends up with an ones, which I believe is the classical meaning of tchilaso v'pshio v'sofa ba'ones, he started off doing a negligent behavior, and then through the negligence, an accident came out of the negligence, chayav, the shomer has to pay, as an actual pshia had a very, not an accident, as we explained, not in these set of halachas, but in the halachas of shaylo pikadon. Okay, now we move to a different issue, and this is the broader issue of shomer shemasar l'shomer. If a guardian gives the item over to another guardian without the owner's knowledge, okay, which we can see already, the guy should be behind the eight ball, because the owner is going to say, I trusted you, who are you to give it to somebody else? So let's just begin this. Ven ha-shoyel ra-shoyel la-hash'il. The guardian is not allowed to lend out afilu shal sefer Torah, because even if he wants, even if he borrowed a sefer Torah, and you think that would be something you could do, because shekol shekarigo is a mitzvah, because anybody who reads him a sefer Torah, you figure that would be a thing you could do. So still lo yashilenu la'acher, he cannot lend it to somebody else. We would have thought, because we know in general a person is very happy that mitzvahs are done with his objects, right? But still in all, we're talking about a sefer Torah now, and there's a reason to suspect it could get lost, right? So the second guy may not be trusted to the owner that he'll be so careful to not damage it when he's using it. So therefore, we're not happy with this. And this whole halacha is based on a Tosefta above Metzia that says that a borrower is not allowed to lend, and a renter is not allowed to rent out, etc. And one second. Unless the owner gives him permission. Okay, as we'll see, that idea is going to be brought forth clearly in a moment. Okay, where am I up to now? V'chein, in asoka reshai lahaskir, so a renter is not allowed to rent it out to another person. Afilu hiskiru sefer Torah, even if he rented a sefer Torah from somebody, lo yaskirenu lacher, he can't rent it out to somebody else. Why? And here's the logic. Sharei ze omerla, the owner will say to the first renter, ein ritzoni shia piktoni biyadacher, I don't want my object to be in somebody else's hands. I'm the one who decides where it should be, and I'm not happy with what you did. So that is number one. If you do that, that's an aveira. You're not allowed to do that. That's even if nothing happens. It was a wrong thing. But of course, to make things interesting, we have to see what indeed happens when things get damaged. Over our shomer, let's say the shomer now, he transgressed. He didn't do what the owner wanted, and he went and lent it out. Umasa la shomer asheni, gives it to a second shomer. So now, and then something's going to happen. So now, let's see what happens. Let's say there happened, what happened when it was in the possession of the second guardian? An accident happened. Now normally we would assume that now it's your fault now because you gave the other guy. But what if there are witnesses who were there at the time when the second guy was watching whatever was being watched and they saw he was watching it very well and a lightning bolt came from heaven and just killed the animal? So that totally wasn't nothing at all. So Potter HaShomer HaRishon, the first guardian is Potter. Why? There are witnesses that saw that it was a total accident. Now, the owner can't say, you know what? I'm not happy. You gave it to the second guy because there's another thing.
Yeah,
you know, if
I've got,
one of the ways to get off the hook is you have to swear. So he gave it to the first guy, and the first guy would say, you know, it was an accident. All he'd have to do is swear he gets off the hook. So we can't, the owner can't say, well, you know, I want the second guy to pay because I don't believe him. But here it's not a case of believing him because you have witnesses, right? Whenever you have witnesses, you never have to make an oath. So, and the other guy says, but the owner has two cops here. He could say, I don't trust the other guy's oath. But then the owner can come and say, well, I wasn't happy that you gave it to the guy. I don't trust the other guy. But it's still, maybe that's okay to not, to say he transgresses from lending it out, l'chadchila, but once the guy transgressed, and nothing really was at fault, because it was an accident anyway, we can't demand money from that. So that's if there are witnesses. But now, v'mein shamedim, what if there are no witnesses to what happened by the second fellow? And now there'll be, someone's gotta make an oath. The owner goes to the first guy and says, where's the thing? Well, I lent the second guy, and it was an accident. Do you have any witnesses? No. So normally the first guy would get out of it. If it was by him, he would just make an oath to get out of it. But what would we say now? We would say, well, let the second guy make an oath.
Yeah.
The owner will say, I don't trust the second guy. I didn't give it to the second guy. Who is he to me that I should trust him? Let the first guy make the oath. He can't make the oath because he wasn't there. He can't just do hearsay that the second guy told me it was an onus. So the first guy can't make an oath for that. So therefore, Chayav HaShomer HaRishon L'Shalom L'Baalim, the first Shomer has to pay back to the owner. Why? V'Shemasu L'Shomer Acher V'Yasahu Din HaShomer Sheni. Because he gave it to the second Shomer. So let him do a judgment with the second shomer. In other words, the first shomer turns to the owner and says, you know, I gotta pay because I borrowed from you. I'm not returning to you. I have no oath to get me out of it. I got no legitimate answer. So I've gotta pay. Now, the first guy can go to the second guy and he can demand an oath from the second guy that for the second guy to get out of paying from the first guy. That is something that he's able to do. Okay, we'll stop at this point in the middle. Because it just keeps going on and on, and we're already at 32 minutes.